All right, we got a lot to get into today. Hawks, Sixers, Game 5 coming up tonight at 7:30. We have, some Braves talk to get into. Just another. Kevin summed it up perfectly when I walked into the office this morning. He just goes, "Well, I guess the Braves did what the Braves do last night." And I was like, "Yeah, they sure did. They lost. It's now 4 games under 500. Lose 10-8 to the Red Sox." We got some college football talk to get into. A lot of NBA injury news to dive into. The NBA just really, Cody, just wrecked right now.
They said it's like a record amount of injuries. Oh, yeah.
Not just injuries, like star player injuries. So we'll dive into that in a little bit as well. But again, Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen and Cam Urshery here on Second Down on ESPN Radio. Of course, brought to you by The Uniform Source. But we're getting closer and closer to college football season. And in the last couple of weeks, we've had just groundbreaking stuff happening all over the world of college football. Yesterday on 3 and Out, we had Ross Dellinger on from Sports Illustrated. He's really been the leading voice around the name, image, and likeness stuff. I mean, literally on C-SPAN, when Mark Emmert's in front of that hearing, the president of the NCAA, you look in the background, Ross Dellinger was there like live tweeting the thing. So we had him on yesterday. And this morning, Ross posted another story on Sports Illustrated. It's inside the making of a 12-team college football playoff. And it's, I love college football, and I know you always kind of like look at me.
No,
like,
I love it. No, I love it.
You always kind of like, especially when I do like the high school stuff, where like I love going into like the Rush Probe stuff and high school.
Oh, it's
football.
Like a sickness. Oh,
yeah, it's a sickness. But I love college football so much because of stuff like this, right? You think a multi-billion-dollar organization, their playoff committee would be composed of full-time professionals whose job it is to make sure the college football playoff is everything it needs to be, because it is the culmination of a billion-dollar industry every year, right? It's an annual event every single year, right? You have commissioners that are presidents of bowl games, right, where their job is to, every single year for 364 days a year, make sure that one day is perfect, right? So you think college football, you could get a committee together where it is their sole job to do this. It's not the case. College football playoff has decided the best way to do this is – we can just be like the side gig for a ton of hugely important people. Presidents of universities, athletic directors at schools, conference commissioners are on the college football playoff committee, right? So just so many people who job number two is the college football playoff. And so again, you would think, okay, they're having meetings to come up with the best solution for the college football playoff, right? What is the best thing? We can chart it out. We can come up with, like, I just imagine, like, have you ever seen The Accountant, the Ben Affleck movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where he's, like, he's in there in this, like, this glass room, and he's got, like, the expo markers out, and he's, like, writing formulas up there, and you have, like, smart accountants around, who's Anna Kendrick's in the movie. Like, you have, like, smart accountants around him doing this. That's what I figure to be. Not the case. The reality of how this 12-team college football playoff is astounding. And I would encourage you to go to sportsillustrated.com and read Ross's latest piece, but we're going to talk about it here as well. The reality is, you had four old dudes go to a Marriott in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yep.
Get a room, get some takeout, get some masking tape, and just go to work. And just a whole lot of, oh, dang it, you're right. Like, if we do that, oh, I didn't think about that.
Daggum!
Yeah, all right, we'll see you in a, okay, look, that's a good spot to leave off. Let me collect my notes, including notes that we're taking on the back of envelopes. You know, like, when your parents, like, left the house and they had to leave you a note? This is, like, pre-cell phones. They had to leave you a note to let you know what had happened, and so they would just, like, find the back of the phone bill and, like, write a note, like, went to the grocery store, take the chicken out of the freezer, like those kind of notes.
I don't know. Cam's dead eyes are just telling us he doesn't know.
Cody, you know where I'm at, right?
Yeah, I know.
You know where I'm at. You come home from school.
I've had it, yeah.
Yeah, you come home from school. It's like on like the counter. It's on the fridge. And like I said, yep, it's like gone to the grocery store, went to pick up your sister, take the chicken out of the freezer to thaw. And you never did. You always forgot.
Don't burn the house down.
Yeah, don't burn the house down. It's just scribbled on the back of envelopes. That's how the 12 came to be. And I'm so happy about it.
Are you?
I mean, would it come about in any other way?
I would rather have some old school guys, yes, doing it like that, but on the back of an envelope. Come on, I don't.
I mean, there's so many.
Just keeps on proving, like I said, computers, man. Come on.
So you use one of the computers to determine who the
not completely,
is.
But can we have some help?
You've said some wild things on this show before, Cody. But if you want like the entirety of South Georgia to hate you, keep saying you want the BCS model back.
Ish. I said you should pick.
Don't even know.
See, do you see what he does, Cam? If I say something, he's like, "No, you want it this. No, I don't want it like that. I want it where you can nitpick from your past." And get the perfect way to do, well, not the perfect way. It's never going to be the perfect way, but take a little bit from a lot of it and then try to make what you're doing now better. So at least use some type of help with that. Either you look at it and you're like, this isn't going to work, but at least do something where you can have a little bit more of an open mind instead of just some old redneck in freaking Fort Worth.
Hey,
riding on the back of an envelope.
I will not have you refer to Notre Dame president Jack Schwarbick as a redneck.
Drinking Shiner Box and freaking eating Texas barbecue. I mean, that sounds like a great time. I don't know what I'm complaining about.
I don't think there's any other way I would want the college football playoff determined. But again, the reality is it was four guys meeting like clandestine-like.
Okay,
in an airport hotel in Texas. To get this done, and again, Schwarick is all very covert that they were doing this. It was almost blown up because college football fans, I love you. A Notre Dame fan was coming through the airport, spotted him, and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he had to come up with a lie on the spot and be like, "Oh, I'm in town for some industry meetings." Like, in what industry? Like, I'm glad that guy didn't.
I'm gonna start using that. I'm gonna go to my hometown, and one of my friends is gonna be like, "Hey, what are you up? Industry meetings. Can't hang out." Sorry.
Who would be able to number one? Like, just be 1,000% real with me. Anyone listening in the car right now, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, or scratch that, if you're an NFL fan, could you off the top teams president looks like? Like Cam, if I lined Rich McKay up with a bunch of other 50 to 60 year olds, would you be able to tell me who Rich McKay is?
Heck no.
All right. Could be like, "Hey.
Hey, them some of them crazy fans, dude.
What are you doing here?"
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Dedicated.
But one of these four guys is Bob Bowlsby, which number one.
Wow, what a name.
Number one. Has everyone here seen the Fairly Odd Parents?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Every time Bob Bowlsby is the commissioner of the Big 12. Every time I hear Bob Bowlsby, all I can think of is Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome.
Doug Dimmadale.
No, it's Dimmadome.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Doug Dimmadome.
Yeah. Owner of the Dimmadome.
Yeah. Owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome. That's all I can think of. I mean, literally the guy in charge of formatting one of the guys in charge of formatting the bowls. His name is Bob Bowlsby.
He was made in like you guys ever seen Westworld? He's one of them robots.
No, probably just hanging out one day just on his oil refinery in Texas, and they were like, "You want to be the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby?" He's like, "I mean, I guess."
He's eating a big old like Texas rib and stuff
like
that.
I guess. This is a direct quote from Bob Bowlsby, and this is just all you need to know about how this came into being. Again, four guys, clandestine meetings in hotel rooms in Texas, takeout food, masking tape, like the Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme where Charlie's like stretching out like the stringed mask to the different stuff. Yeah. Yeah. He said, quote, "There will probably be some unintended consequences. I don't know what they will be, but somebody out there probably has a better idea or has good reasons."
They got like spilt coffee on like their paper and stuff like that. They're like starting to turn in.
I just want you to absorb what I just said. Again, this is one of the four guys in charge of the proposal to change the college football playoff. Again, $1 billion industry.
One of the biggest changes probably college football's ever seen.
Yes.
So let's just put that in
one of the biggest ones. Yep. Again, when asked about changing this in the 12-team format, he says, quote, "There will probably be some unintended consequences. I don't know what they will be, but somebody out there probably has a better idea or has a good reason."
They said, "Done with it. Wash my hands. You guys handle it." Boom.
Is that not the most like billionaire thing you ever heard in your life? There will probably be some unintended consequences. I don't know what they'll be.
Like, what does that even mean?
That means like if you're just getting to the minutiae of the college football playoff, that means like could potentially six SEC teams get in 1 year.
So it's just pretty much some people are going to get screwed. This sucks.
There's going to be some consequences. And listen, there's going to be consequences no matter what format you have. And inside this article, again, Ross Dellinger on SI.com, he lays out a lot of what the thoughts were, and they said they pretty much threw everything up there and tried to poke holes into why it wouldn't be good enough to be the determining factor for the champion of FBS-level college football. They said they considered up to 24 teams, like the FCS does. He said they considered a 11, 10, 9, 8-team playoff there. They considered waiting until all the bowl games were done and then having the four-team college football playoff based off of the four highest-ranked teams after the bowl games. They considered everything.
Okay. The first thing that he writes in his article says, covert meetings, bracket-covered hotel walls, and a group of four men define the story that would change the course of college football. Bracket-covered hotel walls.
Yeah, they went on freebracket.com and just printed off every single possibility. They were like, just give me 64 through 1, print them all off, and we're going to see how this looks. That's literally what they were doing in this hotel room, but again, moral of the story, tomorrow and Friday in Chicago, they are going to present this. And more likely than not, it is going to be approved. I think the only thing that will change won't be the 12 teams. It'll be like the inside the 12 teams, right? Like, do we get to keep what has been proposed, which is the six highest ranked conference champs? Or does the Pac-12 come in and be like, it's got to be the six or it's got to be the five power fives that get guaranteed spots and then one guaranteed spot for the G5 conference champ. It's like those are the only things that could potentially change inside of this. But there's a 99.9% possibility that pretty soon we're going to get word that come 2023, there will be a 12-team college football playoff. I want to come back and talk about this some more. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen and Cam Urshery here on Second Down. Of course, presented to you by the Uniform Source. Got a big show coming up today on 3 and Out. You want to stick around. 4:45, we will catch up with the athletic director for Georgia Southern, Jared Binko, good friend of the station. He's going to swing by and talk about how all of these changes are being implemented and affecting Georgia Southern. Again, Jared Binko coming up at 4:45. We'll be right back right here on ESPN Radio. Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by the Uniform Source. Going to get us some NBA news coming up in a little while. Preview Game 5 between the Hawks and the 76ers coming up tonight. But I do want to dive back into this college football talk because the only reason you fix something typically is because it's broken or can be improved, right? Yep. And I think the narrative we like to put out there is the fact that the college football playoff itself has been more inclusive and diversified championships inside college football playoff and has been an improvement on the BCS. I think we have a large enough sample size to say that's probably not true. And I'm just going to put this out there. In the 16 years we had the BCS, you had 11 different national champions.
Yeah.
11. You had teams like Tennessee winning national championships. Florida State won some national champions or national championships inside of there, right? So you had 11 different ones in 16 years. We've had six college football playoffs so far. There have been four, right? So you're like, okay, those are similar numbers inside of there, right? Here's where I don't believe it's been quite as inclusive. I don't want to be like Cody. This is not me supporting the BCS. Two teams for the entirety of the college football playoff have taken up one half of it. Alabama and Clemson.
Yep.
So half of it has already been taken up by Alabama and Clemson. Two other teams, 4 out of the 6 years, have taken up the other half. Oklahoma and Ohio State. So when you talk about broadening the margins and saying, listen, we're going to have more pathways for more teams to make it, I think if anything, it's become less. And I look at this year, right? Cam, we talked about this yesterday on 3 and Out. Which teams have the easiest path to the college football playoff in 2021? To me, right off the top of my head, the first three that come to my mind, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma.
Yep.
I think number one would be Clemson because the ACC is weak. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say either Clemson or Oklahoma would be.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Would be like 1A, 1B because Oklahoma has a returning starting quarterback. They have a really good defense coming back. And I'm not saying this doesn't mean they don't deserve to be there. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they have the easiest path to the college football playoff, right?
Yeah.
Alabama, the only reason I'd have them just under that is because they do have to play Texas A&M. They do have to play at what I think will be an improved LSU. And they're either going to have to play Florida or Georgia to win the SEC and potentially get into the college football playoff, right? So that's why I don't have them there. But that being said, right now, sitting here on June 16th, we can probably, with a lot of confidence, say we know who three out of the four teams are going to be. That doesn't sound like being inclusive to me. I don't know if I'm wrong here, Cam, but it seems like this is something people have recognized now. We've had a large enough sample size. We've had six of these. We know that this has to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The three teams you named, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State, two of those three will be in this year. Two of those three guaranteed, book it. I think Clemson will be in. Their only loss will be, I hope so, Georgia. Oklahoma will probably run the table in the Big 12 this year. They're loaded. And then, like you said, Bama. You can put those three in, and then the fourth one is always kind of a mystery, but normally it's usually Ohio State. Georgia sneaks in one year, maybe Notre Dame, but it's just not any balance. It's the same four every year, or at least three out of four. I just agree. It's flawed, and I'm glad they're doing the 12-team playoff now.
And when you want to talk about, again, just the domination by a select few group of teams, right? Only six teams since this started, so if you get four in every year, And there's been 6 years so far, so 24 spots thus far. Only six teams have registered a win in the college football playoff, right?
That's not good.
I mean, obviously, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State have registered wins, but, I mean, Oklahoma's been there four times, record 0-4, right? Ohio State's been there twice, record 0-2. Excuse me, Notre Dame's been there twice, record 0-2. You have teams like LSU's won two games, Oregon's 1-1, Georgia's 1-1. Right? So it's just
Oregon first year too, right?
Six teams out of 130 that have won one game in the college football playoff.
Yeah. That's
just
not good.
One.
I think going to 12, obviously, you agree. Pretty sure Cam agrees also, right? Going to 12 is much better. Because it's literally repetitive. It's repetitive.
I don't want to be like a victim of just getting caught up in the momentum of this.
Yeah.
But I think it's about as good as you can get.
I agree.
With keeping everything you want to keep important in college football important, I think this is about as good as you can make it.
I agree 110%. 110%. Four, it was literally a repeat all the time. Repeat all the time. And how many times did we say it? How many blowouts are we going to see in the first two games? Blowouts all the time, all the time. Now, you're going to have better games. It's going to make football better.
What was the last close national championship? Georgia-Alabama?
Georgia-Alabama.
Yep.
What was the last close semifinal? Because, I mean, Georgia-Oklahoma. Last year there wasn't one, right? Because Ohio State dominated
Clemson-Ohio State two years ago. Yeah.
But in that same year, you had Joe Burrow throwing six touchdown passes in the first half of a
and
semifinal
ripping
game.
People, yeah.
And I think, Justin Jefferson had four touchdown catches in the first half?
Yep. Holy smokes.
So, I mean, if you want to talk about blowouts and there's going to be more blowouts, I think we've already seen that there is blowouts. And here's what I will say. You're going to get the two best teams in the national championship 99% of the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? It's going to happen. But there will be better games. Right? Like, Georgia-Cincinnati would have been a first-round game last year. And that was a one-score game. And I know the Georgia fans out there, Cam, I don't know if you agree with this or not. Georgia fans out there are like, well, you know, we were missing a bunch of guys that should have played, that would have played if they weren't getting ready for the NFL draft because the bowl doesn't matter. I would say that might be true, but you also would have been playing at Cincinnati.
Yep. And if you think of it now, say, because a lot of kids are like, well, no national championship. I'm just going to go to the NFL. I'm not going to play this game. Now they're like, well, this is for a national championship. I am going to play the game, so the games will be better. Instead of seeing this guy, and I don't blame them, you know what I mean? They're like, I'm leaving, I don't want to get hurt, I'm going to have an NFL career, I'm going to leave. But if you're going for a national championship instead of just a bowl game, they're going to play. most of them are going to play. I'm not going to say every single one of them are going to play. So it's going to make football better. Overall, this is going to make football better. Not as many players are going to leave early for the draft, I think. So more of them are going to stay to play a little longer for the games that really matter. It's going to be really fun. So I don't think you can – obviously, you can always lose. There's always going to be stuff that you're not going to agree with and a lot of people aren't going to agree with. So it's not going to be perfect. But I think this is – you're right. I think this is about as best you can get.
Like Bob Bowlesby said, you don't – there's going to be –
Stop with the name.
There's going to be unintended consequences, but we don't know what they are yet. And I think a lot of people are like trying to – like Brooks, our good friend, he said he doesn't like it because he thinks it takes significance away from the regular season. I disagree there. Again, you have 100 – this is still the most exclusive – if you go to 12, it will be the most exclusive playoff in American sports. It still is. Like, half the NFL makes it, half the NBA makes it to the playoff. I couldn't tell you how many teams get into the hockey playoffs. I honest to God don't know. Because I know they did something weird this year where they had no divisions.
Yeah.
Or no conferences, and they just seeded teams out. So I don't know how many people get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, but
16 teams.
It's the most
exclusive. I had to count. Yeah. I was like going through my brain.
It'll still be the most exclusive. So that means the regular season still matters in college football, right? Listen, there's going to be arguments that say like, well, there's going to be a three loss team that makes it. I'll say maybe.
Yeah.
And if that three loss team is someone who, like South Carolina in a typical year, plays at least Clemson and Georgia, which will be two of the top three teams or four teams in the country. Like, that's already on their schedule, and they'll probably have to play – or they do have to play, but they'll probably be a top 10 Florida, right?
Yeah.
And so if South Carolina runs the table, but they lose close games in all three of those, then I think there is a conversation to be had that is a three-loss South Carolina at that point – and again, this is all hypothetical. I know South Carolina isn't that good right now. But is a three-loss South Carolina that all three losses came to top 10 teams – are they not one of the 12 best teams in the country? Because all that tells me is they're not one of the 10 best.
Yeah.
Are they not one of the 12 best teams in the country, right? So there's a whole lot of conversations we're going to have there. But I've said this before. I think the noise is a little bit quieter from the 13th team than it is from the 5th team.
See, that's exactly – I want to hit on that a little bit, where the top 10, okay, there's always going to be that edge of the playoff, even when it was 4, you know, like number 5 was it. So – determining 11 and 12 was going to be a big deal. And I think 13th is not going to be as bad. You know what I mean? It's not going to be as, oh man, we should have got, dude, it's 13th. So the 11 and 12 is going to be the bigger deal. You know what I mean? But 13th, you're going to be like, dude, you're 13th. Like, come on. So 11 and 12 is going to be the ones that are like, hey man, those are the ones we're going to have to realize. Hey, with South Carolina, three losses, one score.
But even if you leave South Carolina out there, I think the argument that like putting South Carolina at 13, you can be like, y'all lost three times.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit easier than looking at Texas A&M and saying, well, you got beat by Alabama.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now you're number 5.
They're like, you mean like everyone else?
Yep. And I'm a top 5 team in the nation. I still can't even get a chance. Can't even sniff a chance. They said, nope, sorry. So I think this
will be a lot
better.
And if you want to talk about the regular season – not mattering. I mean, look at the last game of the season for Florida last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that could potentially leave you out.
Yep.
Could you still get in because they say, no, Florida's clearly one of the 12 best teams, which I thought they were
last
year. I thought they were pretty clearly one of the 12 best teams. Could they still make it? Absolutely. And nobody would want to have played Florida last year in the college football playoff.
Yep.
Even Alabama. They did not want that smoke again from Florida. So I think it's about as good as it can get. But again, as Bob Bowlesby said, there's going to be unintended consequences. We don't know what they are. It's one of those things, but I think one of the unintended consequences of this four-team playoff that we've had thus far is you have widened the gap from the top 1% of college football between everyone else.
I know I've said this and also gives different reasons for fans to come to college football for like the underdogs and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, say the underdogs start winning a little bit. I'm not predicting that's going to happen all the time. You know what I mean? Like, just like any other playoff system, it's not going to happen all the time.
Coastal Carolina goes undefeated again and wins the Sun Belt, and they're one of the 6 highest-ranked conference champs, and they get to host a first-round game. How lit would it be to have to see a second-place Power 5 team have to go to Conway and play on the teal turf?
Dude, like it's going to bring more fans. overall. It's going to bring more fans. Leaving at four, a lot of people didn't agree with it. A lot of people who did not like college football definitely didn't agree with it. You're going to expand it. It's going to attract more people. It's going to attract more fans. I think it's overall good. It's
again,
overall.
Another interesting note I wanted to hit on real here. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about the NBA. Swarbrick from Notre Dame, who is one of these four guys mentioned in the article by Ross Dellinger. He's a lot of Notre Dame fans are upset because of the fact that if this gets pushed through the way it is, Notre Dame, due to the fact they are not in a conference and therefore can't win a conference, will never be able to receive a first-round bye. They're always going to have to play in the first round if they make the playoff. Swarbrick, who again, Notre Dame, he said, he's like, well, you know, that's kind of the price we pay for not having to play a conference championship game. So that first round would kind of be their conference championship.
Oh.
So he's like, that's the price we have to play for. Because look, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, all these SEC schools, ACC schools, Big 12, Big 10, they have to play that one extra game. Pac-12, they have to play that one extra game. This is just, if you don't want to join a conference, you want to keep your own TV deal with NBC, that's the price you got to pay.
They get a bye week.
Yeah,
as in itself, because they don't season. Have.
Yeah, they already get that bye.
So. And a home playoff game.
Yep.
Always. And a home playoff game if they can. Yep.
Yeah, potentially every year. If they can. Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure he's amped up about that too, because that'd just be money on campus in South Bend.
Home game, playoff game in Notre Dame. Come on, like I'm psyched for these home games, dude. I am.
Yep. So there you go. Again, 12-team playoff. We'll learn more tomorrow and Friday about whether or not it gets pushed through. A lot still left to be determined, but the format as it sits right now, top six highest-ranked conference champs, not Power 5 champs, conference champs,
would get
automatic bids, and then you would have six at-large teams make it. Four highest-rated conference champs would get first-round buys, and then the first round would be played at the higher seeds' home stadium. So now we just got to wait to
Love
hear.
That.
Now we got to wait to hear where the semifinals games would be played. Do they just rotate through the New Year's Six, which I imagine is what they're going to do there. But we'll find out more about it in the coming days. Going to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk NBA here, right here on ESPN Radio. Second down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. Got a big show coming up today on 3 and Out. 3:30, we will hear from Drew DeArmond from ESPN The Zone in Huntsville preview the Alabama Crimson Tide for 2021 with us. Also, going to catch up with the athletic director for Georgia Southern, Jared Binko. That's at 4:45. But Cam, tonight, Game 5, Hawks 76ers. I thought this one would be being wrapped up tonight, but now all of a sudden the series is even, and you're playing for the series lead here, potentially for the Hawks to be coming back home for a series clincher in State Farm. Joel Embiid seems to be a little bit banged up. The Hawks, on the flip side, are getting some dudes back. How you feeling heading into tonight?
I'm feeling great. You know, I want to say six, but I'm not going to do the Hawks like that. It is an Atlanta team, so you have to go in with that mindset, seven. But, I feel good. Cam Reddish is coming back, pretty good defender, so we'll see if he plays or not. I wish they would rather say DeAndre Hunter, but he's out. But still feeling good. I think Embiid's injury is going to hamper the 76ers, and I still think Ben Simmons is out of it. I've never been a fan, never will be until he gets a jump shot, so. I feel good about it.
I brought up Cam Reddish to come in the game today, and Christian was like, whatever, man. I
don't think that plays a huge role. Like Cam just said there, how many minutes are you actually going to get out of Cam Reddish when he's just coming off of the injury? I don't think he's a big factor in the game tonight. You know what I think is a big factor is Joel Embiid's knee and Trae Young's shoulder, Cam. I mean, how concerned are you about the shoulder?
Not at all. Not at all. He's still a facilitator. He's a facilitator at the end of the day. So Trae Young's going to get his. He's a great player. I'm not worried about that. I'd be more worried about Embiid's knee.
When you say facilitator, that makes me think like with a quarterback, like game manager. I don't like you saying that, Cam.
I mean, he
puts 30 points up a game in the NBA playoffs, at least in the first round he did.
I give you that, but he can affect the game in different ways. Last game he shot terrible, but he had 18 assists and 25 points. He's still going to get that floater off, still get drive to the rack if the three ball's not there. But hitting those open guys, those open shooters in the corner, that's really what's going to set the difference. Embiid's knee, they need Embiid badly. They run through him.
Embiid.
They need him. They need him.
I see what you did there.
They need him. All right, Cam. I get it.
No, right. Not like that.
No, you did mean like that. That's okay. It's Father's Day is coming up this weekend, so you got to get a dad joke in there. No, who scares you from the 76ers?
Oh, Tobias Harris, if he applies himself. Last game, he was good. 8 of 15, just didn't take enough shots, but was in the 20s as far as points. So if he gets aggressive and plays like he did last game and takes double the shots, they'll probably beat the Hawks tonight.
I try not, Cody, I try not to be like BJ where I just look at the score sheet and let that tell me the story of the game. I try to watch the games, and then you got to take into account some of the stats, right, where Trae Young was super inefficient in the last game, but they still found a way to win. But the thing that scares me is the fact that Ben Simmons took one shot in the second half and Joel Embiid was 0 for 12 in the second half, but the Hawks only won by 3 at home.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know Joel Embiid's not going to go 0 for 12 again. It's not going to happen. This is just not going to happen. That, again, was, that was a freak of nature type of thing that happened the way he's been playing.
But if Cam's right, and if he banged up his knee during the first part of that game, like his, to me, it seemed like even not on the drives as much, but it just didn't seem like he could elevate on his jumpers anymore, right? Like it's just something's up.
Yeah, he doesn't have that explosiveness anymore. So something's up. Something's up. And I hope it stays that way.
I believe in Doc. I think Doc will plug and play him and play him the way he needs to. But it is a big loss from him being injured. He's still going to be out there.
We have no word that he is actually playing injured. But right now. All we know is he ate something wrong before the game and he was just feeling a little sluggish.
And who knows how many minutes he's going to get and how long he's going to be on the floor. Maybe he'll play all his minutes. Maybe he'll play maybe only 75% of his minutes. You know what I mean? Maybe he'll only play 26 minutes compared to 32. You know what I mean? We don't know, but if he does have, which we don't wish injury upon nobody.
Apparently Cam does.
But
No, I don't.
But
I just hope he just.
But
you know,
this.
You're not wishing an injury on him? You just hope he doesn't get better?
Yeah, during the series, I hope he does.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Yeah, I knew. I was trying to get it out of you. But a lot of Hawks fans are breathing a sigh of relief. Hey, man, this tank of a man who's been ruining everybody's days during the NBA season. It might be able to slow down a little bit. I don't think he's not going to play, but maybe, you know, we take a little bit away from him. And that's what they're preying on. They're like, well, we might win only because of this. Only because Embiid is banged up.
I don't think Nate McMillan cares how he wins.
Yeah. I don't think he cares.
But we do have an elite matchup tonight. We have the matchup of two of the biggest floppers in the NBA. Cam, I want your grades on both of these guys. Joel Embiid's a pretty elite flopper, but Trae Young is quickly developing into one of the best in the sport.
Trae Young, he's adapting to the game. He's just being smart. If you get the bump, flop a little
See,
bit.
No, that's how it works. That's how it works.
That's the way you young guns
say. No, mm-hmm. That's how it works is when your guy flops, he's adapting to the game. But when the other guy flops, he's a bum.
He's a dirtbag. Yep, can't do it.
No, I've never had a problem with any of the players flopping. If they're going to call these soft calls in the NBA and if you breathe on them wrong, they call a foul, you might as well flop. I've been saying that for years. I've never had an issue with it.
I don't think I heard you say that until LeBron
Speaking of flopping, because I do want to say this. I want to kind of turn my shoulder, make sure nobody, because I know nobody from 3&Out listens to this show. They're all too busy doing their own thing. But I was just in there during their show meeting talking to them because we have some Name That Team coming up. Specifically, that game is can we say a player's name and you have to tell us what team they play for, or just a lot of different options. Name That Team. We have Name That Team coming up. And they ask what the subject was. And I was like, oh, I can't tell you because then you're going to research it. And they go, well, is it football? And I said, yeah, it's football.
Very broad.
Just a different definition of football.
Oh, no. The one that you actually use your feet with.
Yes.
With the little baby cleats. And we're talking about flopping.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But keep a secret. Coming up at 5:20, we'll have Name That Team. But with players from the Euro 2020 is going on right now in Europe. So if you want to hear BJ, Ben, and Kevin.
You literally just scared away all of Southeast Georgia.
No, but it's like the point is we're
soccer?
Not, the point is we're not talking soccer. We're embarrassing BJ, Ben, and Kevin.
Okay, yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah, so it's like, we're not breaking down game tape, even though Russia scored an absolutely absurd goal today, and Turkey and Wales had some of the most absurd flopping I've ever seen in my life.
You should see my face is looking at him.
I'm like just, yeah. just some dude like touches a guy on the cheek. It looks like he gets shot by a deer rifle.
Oh, yeah.
he's on the ground. Like
it's sniper just, in the stands.
It's really, they are amazing. They are amazing actors. But that's coming up a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour. Cody will be hosting that segment, so gonna have a whole lot.
Oh,
of fun
okay.
With that. Whole lot of fun. Cody, do you want me to spell these names phonetically for you so you
yes,
don't have
please.
To?
Yes, please.
I got you. I got you.
I have a hard time speaking as is. Like I make up my own words and I can't pronounce stuff right. And I'll be talking and then I know the word, but I can't pronounce it.
Captivize.
Captivize.
Yeah, we're gonna captivize the audience. Captivize.
And I googled that and it's an app. That's all it is. It's an app. So it's kind of not a made up word. Someone already made it up. So
captivize.
Captivize.
It's a made up word.
Go on Apple Play Store or whatever and go ahead and find.
Why are we?
I don't even know what the app is. I don't even know what it is. It's probably like
people to go download.
It's probably like a hacking app. So don't do it. I don't know.
Cody, why are you advising people to go download apps that you've never even seen?
The word I made up. That's what it is. I should go get some commission for it. Captivize.
Sometimes I want to throw a chair at you. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. Final segment of Second Down next. Some breaking news from the NBA a little bit earlier today. We've talked about it, Cam, just the entire playoffs being wrecked by injuries. And really one of these today, not an injury, but just as significant. We'll start with Chris Paul there. He has been placed in the league's COVID protocol. Cam, what can you tell us about what Chris Paul is having to deal with right now? As it looks like he's going to miss at least a significant portion of the Western Conference Finals.
He probably missed the first three games. It hurts. It's always something with Chris Paul. I just want him to win a championship. So it hurts. So he's going to be out probably the first three games. I can see that happen. Unless Utah and the Clippers go 7, he might miss game 1 and 2. But he's going to miss some games.
Was it a positive test or was he just exposed?
I think exposed. That's what I'm hearing, like exposed. So it still sucks. I don't know how LeBron, crept through that.
That's true.
And Chris Paul can't, but you know that's neither here or there. I don't know how.
And there's there's also some questions out there, right, about the fact that vaccinated versus unvaccinated players, if the rules might be different. So we'll have to wait and see with Chris Paul. But also came some news regarding really one of the best players in the league, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh yeah, that sucks. The Clippers are done. They're saying a tore ACL. They're done. They're probably going to get killed tonight, but they're done. That sucked. I'm being a Lakers fan, I still want to see the best players in the world. I just feel like the NBA kind of rushed the players back, in my humble opinion. A lot of guys are hurt. You won't see a lot of guys playing for Team USA this summer either, so kind of sucks.
Yeah, they said that now, Cody, 9 quote-unquote superstar players have missed at least some time or will miss some time in the NBA playoffs this year. That's Chris Paul included in there. That's the most in the history of the NBA. I think the highest number was 7, and that was from 2018. So it's pretty absurd what's happening right now in the playoffs.
No really rest time in between seasons. A lot of people predicted this was going to happen. A lot of people were saying it was unsafe. You should have pushed the season back a little bit more. You shouldn't have started on this type of time, and now we're seeing why that these professional athletes, like best in the world, need rest in between seasons, need to chill out in between seasons. They barely had any rest, had to get back into it, and then now finally their bodies are breaking down because they're human beings, and they're breaking down, and it's sad to see.
It's
I hate
the first time in however many years that we haven't seen one of these three teams, the Lakers, Spurs, or the Heat, in the NBA Finals. Two of those teams played in the Finals last year, so they were playing a lot more games and a lot longer than 28 other teams in the NBA. And then, like you said, shortened offseason, and now a lot of injuries starting to
And a lot of voices were saying at the beginning of the year, like Shaq, all of them were like, hey, man, you should push the season back, and they didn't.
Well, here we are. Now, and there's a new crop of faces that are going to be coming in. And again, a new team's going to win the NBA Finals this year. Not going to see the Heat, not going to see the Lakers, not going to see the Spurs, not going to see the traditional teams that we have seen there in the past. But now the Nets dealing a lot with it. I mean, Kevin Durant having to carry that team by himself last night. It's going to be fascinating to watch how this final run in the playoff plays out. Three and out coming up next. BJ Bennett, Ben Troop, Kevin Thomas going to catch up with Georgia Southern Athletic Director Jared Binko.